this evening. Thank you, Brother Josh, and good evening, church. Please keep Pastor Lubin and his family in your prayers, and please ask the Lord for traveling mercy. And we thank Brother Josh and his family, and Brother Josh especially for that powerful sermon that he spoke to us this morning. God is good in so many ways. And I just want to tell you something that happened. And you will agree to me about it. Pastor asked me to speak some weeks ago. And for some reason, I got it in my mind that I should be speaking in October. So I was in the garage, and God was working on me. And as I was thinking about what to speak, I thought I had a month. And it's like the Holy Spirit said to me in that small, quiet voice, the 28th. Is there a 28th, Sunday 28th in October? So I took out the calendar and I said, flipping. I said, but there's no Sunday 28th in October. So I called text pastor and he said, no, it's this Sunday. I said, Lord, thank you. And it's so amazing. I said, you know, Lord, you understand things so much that at times when we do not see things, you see all things. And you work at all things in your amazing way for good. And it's as if the Lord do not say to us, you got it. The Lord says to us, hi, the Lord got it. And that is what is so good. So this evening, please turn your Bibles. We'll be reading from Psalms 73, starting at verse 24 to verse 28. And before we start, let us just simply bow our heads and pray. Our most loving God, the one who knows everything about everything, touch our hearts this evening, and there manifest your presence, Lord. Speak through me, Holy Spirit, for only then will the words that come from my mouth be seeded with the gospel truth, and may it find fertile soil in the hearts of all who are within the sound of my voice this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Reading from Psalms 73, verse 24, it goes, Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-warring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. There's a gospel song that always touched me and convicts me. And it simply says, one of the lines in the song states, that if you have no time for Jesus, he will have no time for you. And that always grabbed me because every time I feel as if I'm not giving God enough attention, it pulls me back. It is an attention-grabbing statement. The simple truth is that God desire to draw ever close to us. It is us who always seem to have no time for him. It is always good to draw near to God, and as believers, we must not view this as something that is optional. It is required. What I would like to speak on this evening is the consequence of not having time for God. We look around at our world, and it is very obvious that the majority have no time for God. It appears that we have time for everything else, but little time to spend thinking on him, believing on him, communing with him. The excuse is always that we are busy with this or that, or I go to church and that is proof that I am always in His presence. But some might even have a smart remark like, God is everywhere, so technically I am in His presence. Others might say, I am indwelt with the Holy Spirit, He's not going anywhere. But the question I have to ask this evening, did you make time for Him? You can be in the presence of someone, but until you engage that person in personal communion, with personal interaction, then in reality, it is as if that person was never there. Let us always be mindful, for if you draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. There are those that deliberately choose not to have time for God. When we venture out on soul winning on Saturday morning, one realizes how many they are, and it leaves one with a sense of sadness. But we must continue to do what God has asked us to do, and to hold on to our Lord's word when He says, He that is of God, heareth God's word. In man's ignorance and desire to see only through earthly eyes, most refuse to hear of the gift of salvation. Jesus' command was, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. A man who does not believe in Jesus will have no desire to consider Him. Such a man is condemned already. John 3 verse 18, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The question that one might ask is, what about the one who have a knowledge of Jesus, who comes to church, sits in the pew, listen, but yet still shows no sign of yielding, surrendering, of believing in our Lord's ability to grant him or her salvation? Even more disquieting, be subjected to the nagging assumption that great deceiver Satan puts in one mind, saying, you're not a child of God. Pretty soon you will backslide and be back here embracing me. The truth is that in being in God's house, one hopes that that person is under great conviction. That person is hearing the gospel. We hope that that person might believe something about Jesus, but is yet to believe that Jesus is all we need. For in Him is all things possible. Mark 9 verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That person might be present here this evening, sitting silently, quietly. He or she needs to know that a decision made for Christ to believe in every aspect of Him, He who is the way, the truth, and the life, will make that person complete in Christ. In God's sight, you will be a perfect in Christ Jesus, accepted among the beloved, and as you make time for Jesus, nothing can separate you from His love, and no man can pluck you from His hand. We need to pray fervently for any person who is like that, whether that person is sitting in a pew or is listening to us right now over the live stream. For in Matthew 22 verse 14 it says, for many are called, but few are chosen. But there's a verse before this one which is even more sobering, and it states, then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you are here this evening and you have not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, this is the appointed moment. Do not hesitate when the invitation is given, because if you continue to refuse His invitation to have eternal life, there is that possibility that your heart might be hardened and you will forever remain in your sin. Then there will come one day when Jesus will be your judge. And how sad it will be to hear these words, "Depart from me, for I know you not." For those who come to church and are professed believers, the convicting question is not about one's salvation, but more so, have you spent time with the Lord? There's a Bible verse among many others that usually and will always convicts me. It is Philippians 2 verse 12, and it goes like this: "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." It is the latter part of the verse, "work out your salvation with fear and trembling," that always leads me to the words in Psalms 139, verse 23 to 24. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting." It is God who works in us and gives us the will to do His good pleasure. "It is He that maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still waters." But how can He work if we have no time for Him? To be always in His manifest presence so that we are under His divine influence and guidance. We hear His quiet whisper to us, instructing us. But because we have spent so little time with Him, we do not recognize it. God has so much to offer us, but we missed out so much because we do not spend the time to find out what He offers. You might ask, what does it mean to have time for God? Having time for God is seeking to be in His presence continually. Spending time with God is very important for every Christian. Christianity is less about religion and rules and more about our relationship with God. I know life can be very hectic, and spending time with God may seem difficult and sometimes impossible. But if your faith is a priority to you, then you must make time for God. It does not matter if you are a new believer or if you have been a believer many years. It is very easy to fall into the habit of forgetting to spend time with Jesus daily. But making time for God should become a habit that we are prioritizing in our everyday lives. Jesus loves you dearly and does not want you to be a stranger. If you want Him to be present, you must make time for Him. The question one might ask, is it a requirement to put aside time for God? Is it included in our responsibilities as a Christian? The Bible is full of helpful verses about spending time with God, and here are a few. Matthew 6, verse 23, and this one we know very well. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The Bible tells us that we must first seek God above everything else. He is our priority. Psalms 145, verse 18. "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth." As much as we desire God, He desires us even more. First Chronicles 16, verse 11. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. In this verse, there is so much great truth. For we can spend time with God anywhere, including a quick prayer, whenever. For He is present wherever we are, waiting for us simply to call upon Him. How do we spend time with God? Spend time with Jesus in church. And I'm so glad everyone is here this evening. Church, coming to church is another important part of building our relationship with God. Spending quality devotional time with other like-minded Christians. Spending time with people who read their Bible and live a life full of faith and prayer help us to learn more about our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus. We learn more clearly what His will is for our lives. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25 reminds us of such. We need to spend time with God through prayer. As individuals, we cannot just spend time in church and think those efforts alone are enough. Spending time with God does not only mean going to church on Sunday and reading your Bible every now and again. The Bible tells us we must spend time in prayer. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. No matter what you may think, and no matter what is going on in your life, God always hears and answers your prayer, even if it is not in the way you might imagine. But you have to have faith in Him. Psalm 62, verse 8 reminds us, trust in Him at all time, ye people. Pour out your heart before God, before Him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. As His children, we are always welcome in His presence. The Lord is a shoulder that we can cry on. He always listens, and He will always answer our prayers. Therefore, it is so important to pray, making time for God in our daily life can be simple as waking up just a little bit earlier in the morning to spend time in prayer. You will find prayer most rewarding early in the morning when the cobweb of sleep is not present. But if anything, when it comes to making time for prayer, the focus should be on the quality of the time spent with Him over the quantity. We are reminded in Philippians 4 verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Spending time with God can be a time to give thanks to Him for the many blessings He has given to you. You can give thanks for absolutely anything, even the smallest thing. There is never an inconvenient time to simply say, thank you, Lord. And how many times have we said that? We don't need to be in a place where, like it's a church setting, to just say, thank you, Lord. We can be in a situation where we have just come to an event, and we might be in the midst of 1,000 people. We can say, thank you, Lord. As well as giving thanks to God, prayer can also be a time to pour out your heart to Him and ask Him for anything you need. One thing you must always remember is that God hears you when you pray, and He will always answer your prayers, whether it is a yes, a no, or not right now. But you can be comforted in the fact that no matter what answer God gives you, He always knows what is best for you, and He has a plan for your life. Because He will always make time for you, you need to prioritize making time for Him. For only then will it be revealed what He has in store for you. We must also spend time with God through His Word. Time with God is a two-way street. We speak to Him in our prayers, and we hear Him through His Word. Some might say that we listen to His words as the Holy Spirit presents it to us through our pastor. For His Word tells us that faith cometh by hearing. We must not forsake the reading of His words, for the ability to read is a great blessing. There are millions around the world that cannot read and only rely on hearing the Word of God. Never take for granted one's ability to have at their fingertip the Word of God. Make haste and be consistently in the Word, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4 verse 12. As you read the scripture, be always searching it, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible, through the power of the Holy Spirit, tells us all about Christ and guides us in the will of God for our lives. But let us not forget John 1 verse 1. Again, this is a well-known verse. It simply states, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This says a lot. Spending time in the Word is spending time with God. Sometimes it can be a bit overwhelming when we study our Bible. There is a lot of information, and one might have no idea where to begin. Brother Josh this morning was very instructive in the Sunday school in ways in which we can approach our Bible studies. If you are not sure where to start, there are many amazing resources. You can find devotion books, reading plans, and Bible studies online or at your local bookstore. Or simply ask your pastor for his recommendation and start making time for God. We must always approach God in a spirit of worship. John 4 verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Worship must be an act of reverence, of giving glory to the One who is the source of all blessing, all things that are good. This worship is not relegated to being in church only, but should be that which takes place during every moment of your conscious existence. For our bodies are the temple of God. We do everything as if we are doing it unto the Lord. Do you know you can worship God in the way you work, in the way you speak to your co-workers, in the way you raise your children? Because when you do it as if you're doing it unto God, you're worshiping Him. The worship can be anything and anywhere, as long as it brings glory to His name. From singing to Jesus alone in your car, which sometimes you're on the parkway and the spirit is in you, man, and everyone is just looking at you. Is that guy crazy? But man, you are worshiping God. You can do that in your shower, and that's the best time, because there it seems as if the acoustics is the best, and you want the best acoustics for God. And every time the spirits move you to sing, don't worry about what the next guy is saying. Just sing. It can be an act of serving others, of sharing His word, or even just using your God-given talent to bring glory to Him. Worship Him by just talking to Him, because we all need those quiet moments of reflection where it's just you and God. It's not even a case that you need to just open your Bible. You just have to speak to Him. You might be going through a situation in life, and you just need to have that comforting embrace where you know God is here with me and I'm talking to Him. He's not being disapproving. He's there listening. And you know that what He's going to tell you, because He has a way of speaking to you and guiding you. And it's amazing when you look back and say, Lord, I was there in that distress, and here I am beyond distress. And you are so amazing, because you are the one who have brought me through that distress. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. For He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever Jesus has said unto you. But be warned and be aware. The devil will try his best to disrupt your moments in the presence of God. He will distract you with wandering thoughts, with idle thoughts. He will distract you with external distraction. And you know, the devil will even distract you with sleep. Knowing this, one should arm themselves to be on the defense against these things. When idle thoughts enter one's mind, be not hesitant in rebuking the devil. A sharp, get thee behind me, Satan. That works for me. Thank God, external distractions like someone's cell phone going off in the service, or someone whenever you have that quiet moment of devotion coming to disturb you, is only momentary. But sleep, this is a weapon that the devil uses most efficiently. The Lord is probably saying to us, myself included, do not accept this. Turn the situation around on the devil by finding a way to stay awake. Keep your mind awake, probably by taking notes, keeping a personal devotional journal. Write within it Bible verses that are being expounded, the points that the Holy Spirit wants you to hear. If in listening or reading the Spirit speaks to you about a point to follow up on, make a note of it. Be ready to make highlights in your Bible. I know some people don't like to mark their Bible. Using one's Bible, some people, I know I might be in trouble saying this, like to keep their Bible pristine. But using one's Bible is not abusing it. It is feeding on God's word, and God is telling you, eat it up and be filled. Now, we are at the last big question. What happens when I or you make time for God? Well, have you ever found yourself feeling all alone in an overwhelming circumstance, facing difficulty, trials, problems, going through some attack of the enemy that is so overpowering that it seems you will not make it, or that you will just simply lose your mind, hearing the devil whisper, this is it, you will never get out of this? Have you ever been in that position? Now, when you are with the Lord and you spend time with Him, the words of Psalms 23, verse 4, will sum up your situation best. The words say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why is that? Because my Lord, whom I seek to be with continually, is with me. A consciousness of God's presence brings us out of fear. When you are with the Lord and you know that you have communion with Him and He is with you, you have no fear. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, God's words speak to us and say, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. We can tell Satan, whatever you throw at me will not shake me. Look at who is walking with me. Almighty God is walking with me. And to get to me, you have to go through Him, not me. You have Jesus who died in your place, so that our sins will be washed away and we will have eternal life. After He has done so much for us and brought us so far, will He let us fall now? No. The answer is a resounding no. Will some power on earth be able to overcome His love for us and His protection? Never. The psalmist said, I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. It is as we seek to be in the presence of the Lord that we are delivered from our fears. It is as we go to Him in prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to make His word real, that His promises get from our minds to our hearts. In other words, It is in God's presence that we become aware of His presence. When we make time for God, we do not have to panic or dread what might be up ahead, because God is with us, no matter who or what is up ahead. In fact, we know that all things work together for good, for them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Because He is with us and has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. So why should we then not give God our time? Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that the more we call on You, the more You move closer to us. The more conversation we have with You, the more we feel at ease, the more we feel Your manifest presence.